This review, and it is meant to be a kind of a preview or a review or an overview of these Old Testament books to kind of whet our appetite in our own study. I mean, we could study each book, a chapter at a time. But that's difficult for me to do, as you've seen on Sunday morning. We spend 2 or 3 weeks on a chapter. You know, we'd spend a year on the book of Numbers, and that wouldn't work probably. There's some a lot of reference material, I suppose, in some of the books of the Old Testament, especially the books like this one. But I know Jerry and his fairly recent studies have been studying in the book of Numbers and in the books of the Old Testament in detail. And we can learn how they kind of fit together and then get an idea of what God is like. You know, sometimes we wonder some of those mysteries. What is God like? Well, we can get an idea of his relationship with his people from the Old Testament. And we've looked briefly at some main lessons or themes on the first three books, Genesis, which is we refer to many times as the book of beginnings, Exodus, the going out, Leviticus as pertaining to the Levites. And sometimes that gives us an idea of what's in that book. Genesis, we read about God's creation of all things. We read about man's fall in the Garden of Eden, sin, first murder in chapter 4. We read about the great flood in chapter 6. Chapter 12 and following, we read the story of the promise to Abraham and how the promise actually promises, or threefold promises to Abraham, and how that's carried out through the providence of God throughout the 50 chapters of the book of Genesis. Then we come to Exodus, where God's people, numbering 70 at the time, are in Egypt in the form of the children of Israel, the children of Jacob. And we learn about their activities in the land of Egypt, how there arose a pharaoh or a king that did not know Joseph, and they began to have many difficulties. And we find that there in the latter part of Genesis and the first part of Exodus that Moses is raised to lead God's people. People that had become a nation. And he leads them to break that bondage of the Egyptians. And they escape to the wilderness on the way to the land of Canaan, which should have taken a few weeks, and wind up 40 years. Leviticus shows us the nation of Israel as a people set aside to worship and set aside to be consecrated, and God gives his plan for consecrating his people to himself. We think about the Levites, the priestly system, the tabernacle, and all that's presented in Leviticus. Coming to Numbers, you say, well, what about the book of Numbers? Well, the book of Numbers has given me an appreciation for at least one or two things. One of those has to do with well, how many people was Moses leading? I think if we think about Moses leaving the people of Israel, and you may think about, well, maybe that was 100,000 people or 10,000 people, or of course it's been 430 years since the children of God had been down in Egypt. He had told his people from the very beginning to replenish the earth, to multiply. And they did a good job while they were down in Egypt of doing that. A great number of Hebrews, of the children of God. And so we have in the book of Numbers two numberings, you might say, of the children of Israel. It also relates the history of Israel's 40 years of wandering and how God came to the conclusion that that's what they needed. And that's what he needed for his people, for them to be ready to go into the land of Canaan. They're going to go into the land of Canaan and they're going to face many obstacles. But these people weren't ready to face obstacles. They begin murmuring right away to Moses and said, you know, we've just about come to the conclusion that we were better off down in Egypt making bricks. Well, God knew better than that. And probably deep in their hearts of hearts, they knew that. Most of these events, I'm told, as I've not read the entire book at this time, but have read a number of passages. But most of the events of this book occur, I'm told, in the second and the 40th years of that period. The name of the book is in the Hebrew Bible. I'm again told, because I don't have a Hebrew Bible, but I'm told that the name of this book is called In the Wilderness. In the Wilderness. That's kind of a little bit better than maybe the Numbers. Numbers tells us one thing. They were numbered a couple of times, chapter 1 and chapter 26. And in the wilderness, if we use the Hebrew title instead of Numbers, it would tell us that, God is telling us about some of the things that happened to him during that 40-year period. It shows how the Israelites were chastened and trained in the wilderness in preparation for the land of Canaan, the land that was promised back to Abraham, back in beginning in Genesis chapter 12. Story is sad to an extent, because God's people could have been there very quickly into the land. God would have taken care of everything for them as they fought against these people. But it was sad due to the people's unbelief. They would not stand up and stand for God. They grumbled. They rebelled. But encouraging of what it shows to us about God and his willingness to forgive his people. Forgive, to restore, and bring those who were faithful to victory. And Joshua and Caleb came to the cream comes to the top, doesn't it? Joshua and Caleb came to the top. Let's look a little background. Author is Moses. Now, one or two writers suggested that, well, or at least he was the compiler, because it's not like the book of Jonah, where the book of Jonah among the minor prophets is the only one. It seems like it's not written by the man whose name is on the name of the book. Not written by Jonah. It's about Jonah. Well, there are some things in the book of Numbers that seem to be about Moses rather than Moses writing them, unless he writes in an editorial sense or in some kind of that type of writing where he refers to it. He speaks as if he's referring to somebody else when he's referring and talking about himself. And the journey, we mentioned the journey from Egypt to Canaan should have been completed in a few weeks, and took them 40 years because of unbelief. God waited for a whole generation to die. That's basically it, 40 years. Book of Numbers' initial purpose is to remind the younger generation, and each younger generation that comes along needs to be reminded of the danger of unbelief, and to encourage, just like the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrew Christians, to show them the dangers of unbelief. That's why there's so much Old Testament scripture in the book of Hebrews. And to encourage them, not only just to point out dangers, but to encourage them to be faithful. To be faithful in the new home in which they were to go, where they were to be the governing rather than to be the governed. They were to govern themselves. The primary message of the book, I guess you would say, and I think this is on your outline, a call to faithfulness. A call to faithfulness. God wanted his people to enjoy all that he had coming for them in the land of Canaan. But he wanted them to be a prepared people when they got there. Does that ring true for us today? God wants us to enjoy all the blessings that he's promised us. But he would like nothing better than for us to be able to be prepared when we get there. Also, a question could be asked, can a called, chosen, and a quote, saved people fall away from God? Paul spoke about this situation of apostasy and used this example in 1 Corinthians 10. I believe I have that in here. I have a more complete outline. Sometimes I have much more stuff in my outline than you do in yours, but yours is just really condensed. But I think most time I put the scriptures in there. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers, the ancestors, the children of Israel, were under the cloud. All passed through the sea, were all baptized in Moses, under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spirit. In other words, they had all the same blessings from God. And for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. With many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were written for our example, to the intent that we should not do what they did. We should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters. And this was running rampant. Lust, this was lust city, Corinth. Idolaters, they had all been worshippers of other gods. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. We read about that in Numbers 25. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Numbers 21. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Numbers 14. Verse 2, verse 27 and 29. I got that written in my Bible. There's no reason I know that. So I'm not pulling this off the top of my head. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples or types. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So, preachers of the first century were given warnings already. There were signs that pointed to this need in the church at Corinth. Therefore, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. So it was not all doom and gloom. He said, despite the temptations you're going to have to go back and do the things you used to do, he said, God has given you a way of escape. You just need to take it. You need to be smart enough to recognize that way. God is faithful, will not suffer you be tempted above that you are able. This is a message for us today too. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So this is a story and tells us some of the things that are in God's Word from the Old Testament, and specifically in the book of Numbers. Now, I won't read the following scriptures, but the Bible, the New Testament, repeatedly warns of such. Hebrews 3:12 through 19 speaks of the Hebrews. James 5:19-20. Speak to the church of the day of James. It says, brethren, if you do, if a brethren is overtaken and That's Galatians 6. Let's go to James. James chapter 5. I got it right here. Turn right to it. Brethren, if any of you do, I had it. If any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. Brethren, if any one of you, so we're talking about a brother, erring from the truth and one convert him. So sometimes we need converted, even though we're a Christian. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner, the erring brother, from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Call to faithfulness. Some major themes. I've got four, I think, listed, and we'll cover those. We won't look at all these scriptures. Give those as reference to let you know that they're not all off the top of my head. First census. Major themes, the taking of the census, topics of the book of Numbers, in Roman numeral 4 on your outline, if you're following along. First census was 13 months after leaving Egypt. Numbers 1 and verse 1. Now, as far as the numbering, and we call it a census, which we've just kind of gone through, and may, if you didn't send your form in, you're going to have some little old lady or little old man knocking on your door or calling and wanting some additional information. There must be some good money made in those jobs, too, because there's millions and millions and millions of dollars being spent. And I was surprised that only 60-something percent, I believe, or low 70s, of people in Tennessee return that census information. It doesn't ask but for 10 things. I was surprised, because in the past, they asked all kind of dumb things. Seemed like in the past, they won't know, you know, how many bathrooms you had in your house. Dumb stuff like that. But now they're not, don't appear to be getting information to sell to all these people that want your name to through the mail. I don't think they ever sold that, but they might have. But all men aged 20 and who were eligible for the military, 20 plus who were eligible for the military, were counted. Now, you say, well, why didn't they count there? Well, number one, they had a purpose. Their counting was for a purpose. They were going to be needing a strong military, or at least the semblance of power, and they need to know how many they had. That didn't include the Levites. They were not fighters. They were worshipers. Or they were involved in the worship, and God wanted that to continue. In according to Numbers 1:46 and chapter 2:32, there was a total of 603,550. So we know exactly. I didn't have to round that off. That's the number they gave, unless I missed it and put the wrong number down. So that would suggest, as many have guesstimated, that total men, women, and children was somewhere in the 2 to 3 million people range. That's a lot of people for a man who'd been taking care of sheep to be in charge of. No wonder he wanted help. I mean, speaking to 2 or 3 million people, can you imagine? I'm sure he had to speak to smaller groups. I don't know of any situation back then where they would have had the wherewithal to speak to 2 or 3 million people at one time. But they're finding out how many they got for military, and then, you know, if you or I were on that journey, and we were eating the dust behind the first 2 million, you know, dragging along all the juniors and the seniors and whoever was in our family, grandpa and grandma, you know, they didn't just say, y'all stay down in Egypt. They went along too. And Gramps is grumbling because his lumbago is hurting or something, you know, and somebody's got arthritis. They didn't know they had it probably, but, all these problems that we have today, health-wise, I'm sure they had. And so they've got some health rules that God talks about in the various chapters there in the Old Testament. But that was a lot of people. At the time, as I mentioned earlier, when they entered Egypt, there was a total of 70, according to Genesis 45:27. And over 430 years, one place I think says 400, another 430, 70 had moved on to 2 to 3 million. I suppose most of them were the ones that came down there were married to start with. So there's a lot of close kinship in the children of Israel to start out. Well, there was a lot of close kinship in Adam and Eve's family in the beginning too, I guess. Second census. That takes care of number one. Number two. Numbers 26:51. So this was, the other one was there early on, and the second one was later on. That makes sense, wouldn't it? And the count was about the same. 601,730 fighting men, it says then. Doesn't mention 20 plus, I don't think. Why didn't they grow over that period of time? Well, some of them didn't please God, and he took care of the situation right then. Judgment Day was immediate sometimes. Desert life was harsh, I'm told. It was harsh. It took its toll. I mean, can you imagine? They walked. I mean, they didn't camp out in the same place for 40 years. I mean, you can think about the best case scenario, and you couldn't stay in one place 40 years with 2 million people. With the sanitary conditions they had existing back then. They moved from place to place. A lot of walking. I imagine they had their cattle with them. You know, you'd think they had their cattle with them, whatever other animals they had, sheep. God put to death thousands of them because of their unbelief. And number two, taking a census to walking by faith or by sight, you choose, I put. Now that phrase, walking by faith walking by faith rather than by sight, is in found in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." They had the same difficulties back there with that as we do now. Moses led 2 to 3 million people. How would they be fed? Where would their water come from? They're not in a desert, but they're in a deserted region. How would they, what about their sleeping accommodation? They didn't have Sleep Number beds. They didn't have adjustable beds or mattress to take, you know, blow up mattress to take along with them. On their trips, they didn't set up, I guess they did have to set up individual tents, maybe for the families. Seemed like that's what Abraham had done somewhat earlier, so they surely was that advanced. But what was God's response to what they said? God said, "Trust me. Trust me." Oh, not in just that many words, but through Moses, that's basically what he wanted them. He wanted them to trust him. He wanted them to be in a situation like we were talking about with the Sermon on the Mount, they couldn't do without God. There were no supply stations, supply sergeants over here. There weren't men who were totally in charge of all the food for the next day, you know, and they have these big cooking tents and schools for chefs. I'm being foolish now, but that didn't happen. We have to think back about the times. No more than 3 days from Sinai, Numbers chapter 10, problems begin. Complaining. They were in a place called Taberah, T-A-B-E-R-A-H, Numbers 11. People cry out for meat, Numbers 11. Opposition from Aaron and Miriam. Man, own family there. And you can imagine the opposition he'd get from everybody else if his brother, it was Miriam, his sister, was his sister? Yeah. Your closest kin are griping and complaining to you. You got problems. nation was sentenced to 40 years of wandering because of the murmur. Look at Numbers 14. We're not going to read too many different things, but I thought it would be well for us to read that. Begin in verse 26. Numbers 14, 26. Numbers is over there, the fourth book from the left-hand side. And some of these chapters are longer than books of the New Testament, so you have to thumb through quite a few pages. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurs of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. He didn't pull any punches there, did he? And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey. You know, that was some of the griping and complaining evidently. You know, you've taken me out here and I can't even take care of my kids. You know, they're going to die. They're going to die on the way. God says, well, Lord, you said that, I'll bring them in. They shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. All these younger people would have to bury the older generation. Can you imagine the time that was taken to have to bury all, I mean, all that went on, life went on, death went on. Unfaithfulness. Moses read to lead the way into Canaan, and 12 spies sent out, you know, fairly early on, I think, 40 days to report back. And we remember what they came back. 10 of them said, we can't do this. 2 of them said, man, we got God on our side. That's Joshua and Caleb. They were rewarded with seeing Canaan. Vain plea made by Joshua and Caleb to the people in Numbers 14. God wanted to destroy them totally, and Moses intervened, and therefore that's the reason they got their 40-year sentence of wandering and then ultimate natural death for most of them. And the warning sounds forth to everybody, those who would seek to serve God, walk by faith and not by sight. The wrath of a holy God, number 3. Numbers record several instances of divine anger and wrath. We'll just refer to these due to time limitations. Numbers 14, 10 through 12. Well, I got this right here. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation for all the children of Israel. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence, disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier than they. So, a lot of things are happening. People had threatened to stone Joshua and Caleb, and God said, let me tell you what I can do in that regard. Numbers 15, man does forbidden work on the Sabbath, and God had him stoned right away. You say, well, nothing ever happened like that in the church today. Ananias and Sapphira would be here to tell you that it did. Ananias and Sapphira were smitten right away when they sinned against God. They lied against the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. God, the New Testament, gave his Son, shows great love, but he still speaks of judgment, speaks of heaven, and he speaks of hell. As I mentioned this morning, some say that God of Old Testament is not the God of the New. You know, tell me how who told you that, you know? Matthew 23, Jesus reproves the scribes and Pharisees. He wasn't easy on the people who were purporting to be religious. That's what got on his nerves and hit a nerve with him more than anything else. Those who held themselves up to be religious and held themselves up to be God-fearing, and they were nothing but hypocrites, he called them. He called them serpents, a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Jesus, you're being negative. Second Thessalonians 1:7, Paul is negative. You who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. You know, that is going to happen just as sure there as heaven. Just as sure as there is an eternal life for those who believe, there is eternal hell for those who do not. Number 4, mention of Christ in Numbers. I guess the one that stands out more than anything else would be that brass serpent that's mentioned in the wilderness. That was a type of Jesus' death, the crucifixion. Look at Numbers 21, 6 through 9. Numbers 21, 6 through 9. This will probably be the last scripture we'll go to in the Old Testament. Lord sent fire serpents among the people and bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now this was punishment because of what they were doing. Therefore the people came whining to Moses and said, "We've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from among us." And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent. Set it up on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten when he looks upon it shall live." Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. This is spoken of to Nicodemus. Jesus speaks about it in John 3:14-15. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him," not just look upon him, "but believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In John 6:32, Jesus referred to the daily manna that the people were given in the Old Testament to sustain their life. He was explaining his role, though, Jesus' role, as the bread of life. Not literal bread, but the bread of life. We're to feed on him, feed on his word, feed on his life, exemplify what he exemplified in his life. Then Balaam prophesied of a star out of Jacob and a scepter out of Israel, Numbers 24:17. Numbers is so named because of the two numberings. The numbering of the people of God in chapter 1 and 26, relating to the time period of the Israelites' long 40-year journey to Canaan. Message of the book, trust in God. Be faithful unto death, Revelation. Themes and topics that we looked at, 4 of them, taking a census. The significance of that and what it tells us about what was going on with the people of God. And a great leader that Moses was, to be able to lead 2 to 3 million people. Walk by faith, not by sight. The wrath of the holy God. You mentioned both those words in the same phrase. And the mention of Christ in the book of Numbers. And so, the Old Testament again shines forth as a book that has much to offer for us. Not that we read through every number, and, you know, every tribe and how many people were in each tribe. That gets maybe a little old. A lot of times we stop reading the book of Numbers right at that point. But there are lessons to be learned that will help us in the understanding of the New Testament. Tonight, if you're here and subject to the gospel invitation as a Christian, and you need the prayers of this congregation, or you need to realign yourself with Christ again. You have that opportunity to do that as we lead, as we stand and sing the song that Jerry will lead us in at this time. Shall we stand?